listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Believing is Seeing, Part 1. Why you shouldn't always trust what you think you see. As far as martial arts training goes, the most important of the traditionally cataloged five senses, especially at the longer fighting ranges, is your sense of sight. Of course, there are pop culture memes of blind but deadly martial artists. But in reality, outside of grappling range, the ability to see is vital. If it were actually possible for a blind person to achieve such a high level in the striking arts, we would also see successful Major League Baseball players who could not see. How many blind boxers have established winning records against sighted boxers? Despite the decisive importance of vision to the martial artist, the human sense of sight is not perfect. Sometimes, it's not even to be trusted. In the next several episodes of the podcast, I'm going to take a deep dive into human sight. We have a tendency to think of our eye as a form of camera that passively takes in perfect sharp images of whatever is in our visual field. The truth is actually quite different. Our sense of sight, while amazing, is still far less foolproof than you might imagine. What you, quote, see, unquote, is decidedly not necessarily the same as the actual visual information that passes into your eyes. That information is composed of small particles of light, called photons, that have bounced or reflected off of the various objects in your environment. A tiny percentage of those photons make it through your lens and pupil before being projected as an upside-down image onto the concave, curved, two-dimensional surface of your retina. By the way, your retina is not a clean viewing screen, such as you might see at your local theater. Its surface is cluttered with lots of blood vessels that act to obscure some of the visual information. In addition, in the eyes of vertebrates, which you are if you have a spine, the light receptors all point the wrong way. These light receptors are not unlike the audio microphone that I'm using to record this podcast. There is a business end that receives the information and an opposite end from which a wire trails away. In the case of the light receptors in your eyes, the wire is the nerve that leads to the optic nerve. In the eyes of vertebrates, the business end of the light receptor points away from the direction from which the photons are coming. So the photons first strike the end of the receptor from which the wires or nerves are coming out. That's the same as if you are speaking into a microphone that is pointed away from you. Like this. It sort of works, but it works a lot better when you speak into the business end, as I'm doing right now. Even worse, part of the surface of the retina is occupied by a circular structure called the optic disc. The optic disc is where the wiring, the nerves that carry the signal from the light receptors, join together to become the optic nerve, which carries all the light information to the brain. But the optic disc crowds out any photoreceptors from that part of the retina. This means we each have a blind spot in each of our eyes' field of vision. You don't notice the blind spot because your brain uses information from your other eye and other previously gathered information in order to guess what is there, and then fills it in. A trick that your brain does in many other aspects of your sense of sight. So when someone says to you, "Don't tell me what happened, I saw it with my own eyes," you could credibly reply that, actually, your eyes saw the part of what happened that they could pick up, around a bunch of blood vessels and the optic nerve, through a layer of translucent tissue, using light receptors that were pointed the wrong way. So if all this is true, how come we can see at all? The answer, as it often is at least partly our amazing brain. What you think you see is not necessarily precisely what is there. Instead, your brain takes this imperfectly gathered visual information and constructs the picture, quite literally pixel by pixel, of your brain's best guess of what it thinks you are seeing. So your brain is processing the visual information, much like the computer chip in a digital camera processes visual information. First, your brain flips the image from upside down to right side up. That might be the easiest part. The rest of the process can be considerably more complex. Now, most of the time, this system works very well. But under the right conditions, it can fail to let you see what is really there. One reason that this system is less than perfect is that we are trying to see a three-dimensional world with eyes that only record two dimensions of information. Now, if you ask people whether we see in three dimensions or two, many will answer three. But in reality, our retina is a curved two-dimensional surface. This is why the paintings done during the Renaissance look so much more realistic to us than earlier paintings. Artists like Da Vinci and Michelangelo made great strides in making the image on the flat canvas look more three-dimensional through the use of perspective and improved techniques of color and shading. This brought the paintings more into line with how our brains work. Many people don't realize that this perceptual limitation even exists, which is a credit to how well our brain paints the picture. For exactly this reason, the way we judge distance, something very important in the martial arts, doesn't work the way you might think. We do possess what is called depth perception. Depth perception is our ability to access and analyze, mostly at a subconscious level, an incredibly assorted and complicated mixture of innate abilities and learned environmental cues in order to guess how far away objects in our environment are. Some of our depth perception stems from the fact that we have binocular vision, meaning we have two eyes on the front of our head. Binocular vision is vastly superior to having only one eye within about 5 meters, or 15 feet. That should tell you that having two eyes is especially helpful when practicing the martial arts. At distances beyond 5 meters, our depth perception depends much more on other things. Things that are also available to a person with only one eye. Many of the elements of depth perception stem from knowledge of the world that we gain from experience. We use that knowledge to use subtle environmental cues to make our best guess at judging distance. Without those cues, well, for example, imagine you are standing on a large, flat plain. Everything around you is white, including the surface you stand on. The light seems to come from nowhere, and there are no shadows. As you turn, you see a red disc shape at what seems to be eye level. It has no apparent texture or surface features. It is a simple red disc. You are able to cover the image of the disc with your palm when you fully extend your arm. How big is the circular object? How far away is it? Without the context of other objects, an obvious light source, or visible texture on the surface of the disk, there's no way to know. It could be the size of a planet, but millions of miles away. It could be the size of a basketball, but much closer. You know it's no smaller than the palm of your hand, but based on the information from your eyes and brain, other than that, you can't say much about it. Is it moving? Well, not from side to side or up and down. It's possible, but unlikely, that it's moving directly towards you, but simultaneously shrinking at precisely the right rate to make it appear stationary. It's also equally possible that it's moving straight away from you while expanding. Both of these options might sound silly, but based on what you see with your amazing eyes, you can't rule them out. Suddenly, the circle begins growing bigger. Is it moving towards you? Or expanding? Or some combination of both? Eliminating most of the commonly occurring environmental cues in this scenario, like knowing where the light source is, or seeing texture on the surface of objects, or seeing a visible horizon, or seeing if colors are richly saturated or faded out, illustrates how dependent our ability to judge distance is on them. One of the coolest ways we judge distance is called accommodation. Accommodation means that for objects within a distance of about 6 feet, our brain can actually perceive the minute differences in how much the lenses of our eyes stretch as the tiny ciliary muscles in our eyes contract to focus, and use this information to help judge distance. At greater distances where accommodation doesn't work, we learn over time to take into account things like how sharp the textural details of an object are, how saturated the colors are, the knowledge we have of how large common objects like automobiles and trees are. For example, some military firearms instructors teach you that when an adult-sized enemy approaches you from a great distance, you can make a pretty good guess of the range by what details you can make out, assuming that your vision is 20/20 or has been corrected to 20/20. This is really important because you know that you compensate for longer ranges by aiming higher to make up for how much your round will drop as it travels. At a distance of 500 meters, or half a kilometer, you can only make out a slender wedge shape with no discernible head. At 300 meters, the outline of the head and body is clear, but details are blurry. At 100 meters, the details are clear. There are additional factors that complicate distance judgment. Things seem closer when the sun is shining from behind you. Things seem closer when they are bigger than other things around them. And things seem closer when they are higher than you are. Things seem further away when the light is bad or the sun is in your eyes. Things also seem further away when they are smaller than the other objects around them. All of this should tell you that depth perception is vastly more complicated than most people might think, and doesn't always work as well as you might think. Next episode, I will explore more reasons why you shouldn't always trust what you think you see in Believing is Seeing, Part 2. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, and check out old episodes of the Martial Brain Podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.